this morning, what we are looking at is titled, Those Who Trust in the Lord. Can we take care of the humming sound? Those who trust in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Verse number 4. Trust in the Lord forever. How long? For in year the Lord is everlasting strength. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. God is talking about somebody. Which spreads its roots out by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. Your life will be green. Your life will be evergreen. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. And one more verse. Psalm number 125. Just verse 1. Just only one verse. Those who trust in the Lord. Does somebody trust in the Lord this morning? Those who trust in the Lord. The Old King James Version says, they that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. No evil will move you. No sickness will move you. No untimely death will move you. Because you trust in the Lord, you abide like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To trust in the Lord means to put your confidence only in God. It means to acknowledge God in everything. It means to fear him. It means to completely depend on him. It means to feed on his faithfulness. It means never to consider any alternatives outside of God. Let's look at seven characteristics. And then you begin to see the ones that you have and the ones you don't have, and then you begin to make amends. Praise the Lord. Seven characteristics of those who trust in the Lord. Number one, temporary sufferings do not affect their mind about who God is. Temporary sufferings don't make them to change their mind. They are not so fickle. God is only God when things are great and going good. But God is no longer God when things are not going great. God is only God when they have all their petitions granted. God is not powerful when they face disappointments, when their prayers are not answered, when they want them to be answered, how they want them to be answered, where they want them to be answered. When those things don't come, God is not God. But when things are good, yeah, we lift up hands in the sanctuary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, 17 and 18. New Living Translation. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Verse 18. So we don't look at the troubles, that is, the problem some of us have. We look at the troubles. We don't fix our eyes on the troubles. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Every frustration, affliction, disappointment you are seeing right now will soon be gone. They will soon be gone. Whatsoever you do not desire in your life will soon be gone. And those things that you cannot see but God has reserved for you will begin to manifest. In the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35 to 37, NIV. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Through him. Through him who does what? Who loved us. Before we were even born, he loved us and he gave himself. Those who trust in God, don't allow temporary things to make them change their mind about who God is. God is good and is forever good. He cannot change. Number two, those who trust in the Lord put only their trust in God, not in people, not in systems, and not in things. Isaiah chapter 50, New Living Translation. Isaiah chapter 50. I read this passage yesterday and it ministered so much to me. Verse 7 to 11. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7 to 11. Because the sovereign Lord helps me. Everybody read this. It's a popular anthem. Are you ready? One, two, go. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will. And I know that I will not be put to shame. Praise the Lord. Verse number 8 says, he who gives me justice is near. Who will dare to bring charges against me now? Where are my accusers? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Lord is on my side, who will declare me guilty. All my enemies will be destroyed like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Verse 11. But watch out, you who live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is the reward you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment. What is he saying? Even when there is no light, you are walking in darkness. Still continue to trust in God when things are not working. But those who think, oh, we have light, we have this, we have that, and they have placed their trust in systems, in things and people, they will soon fall into great torment. One of the things I believe as a child of God we should continually do is to strive to be richer in our faith. Put more effort to be richer in your faith than put more effort to be richer in things. Because when you are richer in faith, your faith can produce things. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ told his disciples, haven't I told you? Didn't you remember the miracle of the loaves where 5,000 women, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, were fed? So when I'm telling you, don't take wallets with you. Don't take bags with you. Don't take food with you. Didn't you realize what I was simply telling you? When you have faith, those things that you need are going to be produced and provided at the time you need them. When you have faith in God, what you need will come. When you have invested more faith in God, That faith will produce what you need. But if you are running after things, when those things disappear, you go back to running after them. But you, when you have faith, that is one of the characteristics of the faith of Abraham. When God told him, take now thy son, your only son, Isaac, and go and sacrifice him unto me. On a mount I will show you. He knew God was able to bring him back from the dead. Because when you have faith, your faith, the family that closed on Friday, the person that came to do the appraisal of the home and the inspection with them also works in the bank. And the person told them that you shouldn't be, I don't know what is going on, but you shouldn't be buying this house at this price. This house is worth this amount. And now it's like they are just, it's, this house, I know the story of this house. I know the story. And he gave them the lowdown about the house. It's all brick. When they told me the price, I was like, I know that neighborhood. They had faith in God. And at the end of the day, the person said, I don't know what you guys have been doing, but it's working. It's a white guy. So whatever you've been doing is working. Keep doing it. So within a couple of days, the bank gave them commitment letter that, yeah, we're going to, if you get any house within this range, yeah, we are committed to financing it for you. Praise the Lord. Faith in God. Number three, those who trust in the Lord would rather suffer or die than give up on their God. If this God cannot deliver us, let it be. If life will continue this way, let it be. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7 to 9. This is talking about Joseph. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes. Eyes that are very long. Eyes that are sitting down here, but they are so long they can reach you anywhere and control your mind and begin to project some thoughts into you. Praise the Lord. Longing eyes, and she said, lie with me. That means come and have immorality affairs with me. Immoral affairs with me. Verse 8. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. Verse 9. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me, but you. You are the only one he has kept away from me, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I am sure Potiphar's wife must have been warning him. Joseph, I know a shame. I pity you, Joseph. You will suffer. You know it is what I tell my husband that he believes. Joseph, I'm throwing myself at you. Just enjoy your life and continue to be a servant. Because if you receive, you refuse me my approaches, you are going to suffer. Look at what he said. How can I do this and sin against God? He would rather suffer than continue to enjoy temporary pleasures. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32 to 35. It's talking about Hall of Famers. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turn to fly the armies of the aliens. Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Those who put their trust in God would rather suffer, even die, than give up on that God, because they don't have any other thing to put their trust in. Number four, those who put their trust in God, whereas they don't expect everything will always be okay for them, but they believe God can, and God will always work out his own plan and purpose for them. Things may not turn out the way I want every time. I may not want what I want every time. I may not have testimonies concerning every situation. But in every situation, God's name will be glorified at the end. At the beginning, I may not understand. In the middle, I may not understand. Even close to the 11th hour, I may not understand. But at the end, God's name will be glorified. The Bible says, the end of a matter is better than the beginning thereof. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Job chapter number 2, verse 8 to 10. Job chapter number 2, verse 8 to 10. New Living Translation. Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. Verse 9. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." Verse 10. Let's be fast, please. But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Let's go on to Job chapter 19, verse 25. Job chapter 19, verse 25, NIV, 25 to 27. Job 19, 25 to 27. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Those who put their trust in God. This is one of the problems a lot of people have. When they have placed their trust in God, and in their own mind they have given God a time schedule for him to perform. Once he doesn't perform within that schedule, they believe either God is not powerful enough or he doesn't care to make those things happen. So they begin to seek help from other sources. And that is when they miss it. "I would rather not have good things of life and die a poor man, trusting in God, maintaining my integrity, than go and partner with the devil, be famous, be rich, and have the biggest ministry in the world." Because at the end of the day, it is the end of a thing that matters. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the entire world and loses his soul?" What does it profit anybody? There were people who at a time, oh, they were the richest in their own time. Where are they? Gone. Oh, the strongest. Where are they? Gone. The king of pop, the king of blues, the king of this, the king of that. All of these kings, they are all dead. And others will rise and die. And whatever took them to stardom and fame was never able to save them from death. But the King of Kings remains forever. Amen. Why kill myself for things I can't keep? Why kill myself Why destroy the only thing I have, my soul, for the things I cannot hold on to in death? Praise the Lord. I want to become this. I want to become. Yeah, you become. But at the end of the day, what becomes of you when you have become what you want to become? Praise the Lord. Number five, they that trust in the Lord don't question the integrity of God's promises when things are not going the way they expect. Matthew chapter 11, verse 4. Let's pick it from verse number 2. 2 to 6. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one? Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another?" You won't make, I pray over every one of us, none of us will make everlasting mistake. This is an everlasting mistake John the Baptist made. Remember in John chapter 1 verse 29, the Bible says, the second day John saw Jesus Christ coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." That confession was the first ever made in the Bible. Every prophet that spoke about the birth and the physical manifestation of the Messiah, they spoke in prophecies, they spoke in parables, they spoke about dreams, about visions. But nobody was bold enough to declare him, because declaring him is to endorse him that this is the one. And that carries a death penalty. And he was bold enough. He was a fearless man. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sinners." In your mouth. Your mouth is big enough to say this. Okay, we'll catch you. So what made him the greatest was his confession. What made him the least was his confession. Let's go back to verse number 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you heard, you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." He questioned the integrity of God. Are you actually the Savior? Did I make a mistake? Situations of life will come against us that force us to challenge the almightiness of God. One of the major mistakes of the children of Israel in the Bible, in the wilderness, was they said in Psalm number 78, the Bible says, they tempted the Holy One. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They said in their heart, "Is he able to furnish a table in the wilderness?" And the Bible says, while the food was still in their mouth, he slew them. He slew their famous ones. He slew their strong ones and spared their children. Number 6, those who trust in the Lord don't joke with their daily appointment with him. Those of the occult, they don't joke with their morning rituals. But the children of God, sometimes we get lazy, indiligent, and lackadaisical about our daily appointment with God. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, New Living Translation. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Another version says, with the laws of his God. They knew him to be keeping daily appointments with God. They knew him to be a man that was addicted to God. And the only thing that is still making certain enemies penetrate us is because we ourselves are not keeping our appointments with God. And lastly, they that trust in the Lord offer him complete obedience. They don't offer him partial obedience. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, NIV. Now, if you obey me fully, if you do what? If you do what? It's not obey me partially. And keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession, although the whole earth is mine. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. James 1, 22 to 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and does what? Continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one, this particular one, will be blessed in what he does. Let's close our eyes. Oh Lord, teach me how to trust you more. Talk to God. Teach me how to trust you more. Teach me how to trust you more. Teach me how to trust you more.